Well, I'm recording this, okay?
Absolutely.
And we are excited to actually meet you here today.
Thank you.
The Burton Center out there is a fabulous facility. And Felton Burton, all the things that he did out there were just unbelievable. And, you know, he had his daughter that had Down syndrome.
Yes.
And, you know, this morning, I don't know if you saw the news or not, but this morning on the news, there was a kid who is a Boy Scout who had gotten 132 badges, the max amount of badges that you can get, who was autistic.
Oh, love that.
Okay, and do you know what his phrase was? You're going to love this.
What?
You're going to adopt it.
What?
Stop slacking and get on with it.
Oh, I love that.
You know, and that's how he has made it, and you can't get any more badges. 132, that's it.
Fabulous.
So I thought with you going out to the Burton Center and everything, that was a nice tie-in.
Absolutely. No, it was a fabulous center, and it's definitely a source of pride for the state. I love how they bring in private and public opportunities. I love how the community gets invested. I love how Fujifilms works with them to really give them jobs that make them productive and more than anything, give them confidence. It was a great, great tour. We were thrilled to be a part of it.
Yeah, it just makes it tough when you're looking at budgets and everything, though, doesn't it? When you've seen a facility like this, right, and you know what good things they're doing, to have to cut.
Well, you know, as governor, I can help on two sides. On one side, you look at the budget, and what we want to make sure of is that the dollars go exactly to the services they need to give those consumers. But then secondly, we need to make sure that anything we can do to encourage the private sector to get involved, they need to do that too. And that's why I'm so community-oriented. That's why I want businesses to realize we have needs in our communities, and there's plenty to give to, and the Burton Center is a perfect example of that.
It is a perfect example. So, you know, your book, your memoir,
yes.
Can't is Not an Option.
Yes.
Yes. Do you think, we're in the jewelry business also, mm-hmm. and we've dealt with a lot of foreign nationals. And one of the things that I was thinking about, can't is not an option. Do you think because of your background, I deal with so many, we're working 24 hours a day, if that's what it takes, is what they do. Do you think that that's made a difference in what has made you successful?
You know, the way my parents brought me up, was there was no obstacle you couldn't overcome. It really was, can't is not an option. How do we get it done? And I grew up watching them overcome a lot of challenges. I grew up having to overcome a lot of challenges myself. And so it was just a mentality that, you know, you define a problem and you go straight to the solution. And you don't look at the obstacles that get in the way. You just look at the results at the end of it. And so that's why that's kind of been my life motto.
So, but I think that, don't you think that a lot of foreign nationals, that's where they come from?
Yes.
Whether it's Mexican, Chinese, Korean, whatever,
from the fact that we live in an amazing country, and they acknowledge the blessings of being in this country. And when they've seen all the true challenges out there in the world, when you come to a country that allows you to be anything you want to be as successful as you want to be, can't is not an option, because you realize that you are so blessed to be able to have those opportunities, and you make the most of them.
Does it frustrate you to see people that don't take advantage of all the opportunities?
It frustrates me to see people that don't see their potential. It frustrates me to see people who are negative in nature and not optimistic in a way that they can really be productive and helpful to their communities and to their environment. So, you know, from that standpoint, it's why I try and push the positive side of South Carolina. It's why I want people to realize what a great state we live in, how blessed we are. Do we have our challenges? Yes. But we will overcome those challenges. And the results in the end will be something that we're all very proud of.
What's put you out on the national media so much? I mean, you're on Greta Van Susteren, Laura Ingraham, you're everywhere.
Yeah, I think it's because I'm just so forthright in what I say. I believe what I say. I say what I believe, and I'm not very apologetic for it. I think that we have seen both parties make mistakes, Republicans and Democrats. I think we've got a government that's completely lost its way. And for business people that understand what it means to know the value of a dollar, we think that government should know the same thing. I have very little patience for the talk. I think it's all about actions. I think it's all about results. And I think that the people, not only in South Carolina, but also in our country, want to see good things happen. And they want elected officials to remember who it is that they work for.
I think that's true. Very true. So when you were growing up, though, what did you want to be?
I wanted to be a delivery nurse. That was what I wanted.
A delivery nurse.
I grew up wanting to be a delivery nurse.
I didn't read any of that in the bio. Come on, Nikki.
And then I realized that I couldn't stand the sight of blood. That was the honest truth. And so that went to the wayside. But I also had a love for numbers. And my parents had me start doing the books for them when I was 13. And
Child labor. It was.
I tell everybody it wasn't until I got to Clemson that I realized that wasn't normal. But, you know, I love how numbers tell a story. And I love how you can't stop working with numbers to make it work better. And so I just developed early on, when we had issues or challenges in the business, you just continued to save, you continued to prioritize, you continued to look at the numbers until you made them what they needed to be. And so accounting just kind of seemed to come natural for me.
All right. So you received all these endorsements from Jenny Sanford, from Mitt Romney, Sarah Palin. She helped you tremendously.
Yes.
Would you like to see Sarah run for president?
I think that she could be great at anything she ever does. You know, she has an amazing power of getting people to know their voice and know the strength of their voice, and I've always appreciated that about her. I think she's actually very influential in moving the conversation, getting the conversation back to where it needs to be.
Do you think she's better served as not running for president?
I don't think it's my place to say whether she should or whether she shouldn't. I welcome everybody into the field. I don't think the field can be too big at this point. So if she does it, it will be great to see her in it. And if she doesn't, I have no doubts that she'll be successful.
What about, have you made any choices as you've looked at the field, anybody that you're seeing? I mean, I've seen you sitting beside Rick Perry a lot. I've seen you out there. Where are you standing?
I think it's just way too early. You know, for me, I'm watching like everybody else. One, I have told them, don't worry about my endorsement. That's not the one you need to be worried about. The one they need to be worried about are the people of this state. And I don't want them just focused on GOP groups. I want them to go to every corner of the state and talk to every single person, because that's what I did. And so I want to see them work hard for that support that they get in South Carolina. I am watching the debates like everybody else. I'm listening to the talking points. I'm watching them get vetted. And, you know, I think when the time is right, after I feel like they've really worked the state, then I'll weigh in. But at this point, I want them really focused on the people.
Well, I think that's good. Now, I know that you're doing report cards for your legislatures.
Yes.
Have you sat and looked at yourself and said, this is what I should do the first 6-8 months that you've had in office?
I'm very goal-oriented. I'm goal-oriented in everything I do. So I set benchmarks for myself. And right now, I want it all done yesterday. I'm impatient by nature.
No, not you, Nikki.
Yes, very much so. But you know, the number one thing is jobs. I am so passionate about getting people back to work. That's my number one goal, is getting them back to work and making sure that we do it the right way. And what I know is that we have two major issues in South Carolina, poverty and education. And through those, we have high unemployment. We have announced well over 10,000 jobs, and I'm thrilled about that, but we have to look at the fact that while these companies have positions, we also have people that need jobs, and the missing link is training. So you will see us come out and push very hard job training so that we can get these people back to work. What we are seeing in the unemployment numbers are college graduates that are coming out and not finding jobs. Mm-hmm. We're seeing retirees who realize they can't live off of their retirement anymore. They're getting back into the workforce, and we're seeing another group of people who had given up on finding a job and suddenly are seeing these job announcements and are trying again. So the workforce has expanded. We are filling the jobs funnel, and we'll see that kind of play itself out over the next year to 2 years, but I'm trying very hard to continue to bring companies here. We had a breakfast this morning. We'll have another, I think we had 3 announcements last week. We'll have a couple more this week, and that's the goal, is just to keep on bringing jobs to South Carolina.
So what about for you personally? I mean, that has to be tough to step up and be governor. You know, like, I got the job, what do I do now?
I think there were a lot of things. One is jobs. I mean, that's a priority. And so, you know, you'll look in every single one of my staff offices and in my office, the unemployment number is up there. There's a graph that is there because it's the one thing I'm focused on and I want them to be focused on. The second thing, of course, is the budget. How do we prioritize what we need? How do we make sure that we're paying for the core functions of government and not paying for things that we shouldn't be paying for? You know, in a tough economy, the last thing you want to do is go and hit the people again. The one thing you want to do is strengthen your small businesses, because if they have cash flow and if they have profit margins, they hire people. And so trying to create a good business environment, trying to create an opportunity for companies to hire more people and move more companies in for jobs, that's just going to continue to be my priority.
Sure. But, I mean, as far as taking the reins and becoming the governor, was it easy?
No. No. There wasn't any part of it that was easy, but I'm grateful for that, because the challenge of running for governor is what prepares you for actually being governor.
Does it
prepares you from a scheduling standpoint, because you learn what it's like not to sleep. It also prepares you from the standpoint that you know that you work for the people and results matter. It's not what you say, it's what you do. And it just prepares you from a tough standpoint. You realize you're not going to please everybody, and that there's someone's going to always be upset with you, and that's okay. As long as you're doing your best, it works out in the end.
What about when you go home at night? What do you think about?
I think about my husband and my kids. So
are you really able to turn it off?
Yes. When I wake up in the morning, my focus is getting the kids out the door with a smile on their face so that they have a great day. I work, and when I get home, it's focusing on the kids and Michael again, and then when they go to sleep, then I start working again, and until it's time for me to retire. So I work around that. You know, family comes first, and then you set your priorities from there. If I'm a good mom and a good wife, I'll be a good governor.
That's pretty cool. All right. So how did you find it, though, fitting in with basically a male-dominated? It is male-dominated. And, you know, there's all this talk all the time about how difficult it is for Republican women to work within the media and everything. How have you found it?
You know, I think that women in general are noticed a little bit more because there's not a lot of us.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that once we see
particularly
more,
the young ones.
So I think once we see more women in office, I think we'll see less of the critics. But, you know, until then, that's part of what we have to go through, and that's okay. You know, the press has their job, and that's to report what they see, and we have our job, and that's to report results. And so I think that, you know, my job is not so much, I don't pay attention to the gender or the age or, you know, any of the racial stuff. For me, I will be defined by the results in the end. And so that's what keeps me focused every day.
Does it scare you? Sometimes?
No. I think after, you know, fear slows you down.
Mm-hmm.
What inspires me is to prove to the people of this state that they picked the right governor. And so I am constantly focused on what we're going to prove to them today and what I'm going to do better today that we didn't do yesterday. And so I wake up every morning and I start off my day, and then at the end of the night I say, okay, I did the best I can. Now tomorrow we'll start this again. And you just try and make the best of every day. And you don't, you know, the hard part is, no one will ever be more critical on me than I am on myself.
That's what
and
I figured.
And it's because, yeah, you know, I just have a lot I want to prove. And I think the people of the state should be very proud of their state. And so I feel responsible for that. I want to make sure that I give them a lot to be proud of.
What have you learned from the NLRB?
Oh, how un-American it can be. You know, it defies all logic. It really is. It infuriates me from the standpoint of, if it had to happen, I'm glad it happened in South Carolina, because I won't stop fighting until this wrong becomes right. But it also goes to show how far away we've gotten from where we need to be. You have a president that says, we want things made in America. I've got planes that are made in Charleston, South Carolina, and they're trying to stop it. They are as American of a plane as anything else you're going to get. And to see the fact that Boeing created 1,000 jobs in Charleston, mm-hmm, and at the same time expanded 2,000 jobs in Washington State. Not one
Where's
person was hurt. Not
right.
one person was hurt. And the fact that they won't back down is disappointing.
And even with the bill that Tim Scott just got passed, and we were talking to Tim Scott this morning, and he said, you got to get Harry Reid to put it out there to the Senate. But the problem is, will he even bring it up?
Well, and, you know, we're going to put a lot of pressure on them. You know, as a governor, you can do that. You can get with other governors. You can get people across the country to sit there and pay attention to you. And that's my job. And so, one, I applaud Congressman Scott for being a partner and helping on this front. But I have also, we sent out a statement saying, this is not Republican or Democrat. This
really?
Is about being American. This is about American jobs. And if they really care about American jobs, they will do something. You have a rogue agency that is trying to use their power to make the unions relevant again. It's wrong. And I think that they are abusing that power, and I think that we have to continue to be loud until the president says something about it and stands up, or until they back down.
Absolutely. Do you ever ask yourself why you signed on for this job?
No, but my husband laughs at me because he always laughs at how I put challenges in front of myself. You know, you have to be a little crazy to do this. You really do. But it's because I think I can move the ball. It's really because I think that I can make a difference on the people in this state. And so I'm determined to do that. And, you know, time will tell, but I know that I won't walk away without everybody saying, yes, she was the right person at the right time.
Excellent. Thank you so much.
Thank
Governor
you. It was
Haley.
A pleasure. I appreciate it.
Long time coming.
That's
I
right.
I hope we get to interview again.
That's right. I look forward to it.
All right. Thank you so
Thank
much.
Thank you. It's a pleasure.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. Great to see you. Thank
nice
you so much.
You.
All right, well, we got to get a picture with you.
Absolutely.
Can I get
I would
a picture
love
with
that. Yes,
girl?
I would love that.
Powerful and powerful.
That's
how about
I love
that?
That.
There we go.
Excellent. Did you want to get in the picture too, Tim? Can take it?
Sure, that'd be great. All right, here we go.
Thank you. Come and see us in Columbia anytime.
I would like to.
Okay,
I would like
would
to do that.
Thank
all
you
right.
so much.
Y'all take have a great afternoon.
Oh,
I'm
you.
So glad your visit out there to Burton Center was a success.
Oh, great. Now we'll get to meet with some constituents and see if we can solve some more problems.
You know that.